Hallelujah. All right. Come alive in 25. That's the subject that we're talking about today. Come alive in 25. This is our second installment of this particular series. And the scripture that we started off with, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to stand as we read it, is Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Let's stand. And out of respect for the Word of God, we're going to stand and I'm going to read that scripture. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Thank you, Father, for your word. Help us, Father, as we preach and teach. God, I pray that as I submit myself to you, you would speak through me. You would teach me as I teach. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. So we were talking about coming alive in every area, speaking life in every area of our lives, speaking life. If you'll notice, if you'll pay attention to how you speak, so often we speak negatively. We're hardwired negatively. We tend to look at the glass half empty most of the time. And it takes either you were raised by somebody who was very positive or an intentional switch to start renewing your mind to be more positive, to be more faith-filled. Because when you start seeing that this is a scriptural truth, that what we say matters. Now, we're not superstitious. We're not superstitious that we can't acknowledge when there is something that is wrong or negative or bad. Mm-hmm. But we understand that there is a higher truth that can be applied to that. Mm-hmm. Last week, we delved into Ezekiel. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go back to Ezekiel 37. There were several points that I want us to walk away with in this series that are going to help us to be better going into 2025. What are they? Well, in Ezekiel chapter 37, we see, and it is a fairly famous passage of Ezekiel, because in Ezekiel 37, this is the Valley of Dry Bones. And you perhaps have heard it preached, maybe if you've been around church for very long. And it's an exciting passage because it talks about the miraculous of what God said and did through the prophet Ezekiel. And so Ezekiel 37, verse 1 says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling. The bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. The skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves, cause you to come up from your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place in you in your land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord God, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this story, because this story has application for our life. Now, if we're not careful, we will just relegate this story to, oh, that's a Bible story, that's the miraculous, it has nothing to do with my everyday life. But this certainly does. Because the first thing that I gleaned from studying this is Ezekiel, how did he get to the place that God showed him what was dead? He did that through a relationship. And as you know, our church is about knowing God, finding freedom, right? Discovering purpose and making a difference. Yeah. Knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose and making a difference. That's the vision of this church. And when we know God, then He can position us in the right place at the right time. So Ezekiel obviously had the kind of relationship with God that God could take him for a walk, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, in 2025, I want to get closer to God than I've ever been. I don't know about you, but I want to hear His voice clearer. Yes. So in order to do that, you have to position yourself. You have to position yourself. God's not going to pick you up and put you somewhere without your permission, because God's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. That's why I tell people, Holy Spirit's not going to make you speak in tongues and do all kinds of things and you know, make you jump over pews or anything, unless you actually yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and you yield yourself to the plan and the purpose of God. Now, He's not going to purposely embarrass you. He's not going to pick you up, Brother Adam, and make you say something. God's not going to do that. He is a gentleman. And He is about you choosing to cooperate with Him. Now, Ezekiel obviously had the kind of relationship with God that God was able to take him and walk with him and show him some things. So this is where the depth, last week I gave you 2 points. I gave you the other two, but we really didn't have time to develop them. But I'm kind of repeating a little bit right now on purpose, okay? So that relationship is, if you're taking notes, it's positioning. It's positioning. If I play a sport, I got to play my position, right? Now, I was notorious for being in the outfield as a kid. I wasn't much of an athlete. They stick the non-athletes in Little League. They stick them in the right field. Where they daydream. Unless a left-handed batter gets up. And then everybody shifts over and the coach is like, wake up out there! You know, because you're going to get slammed with a ball, right? Hallelujah. And, you know, and so what happens is you have to be in the right position in order for you to make the play. If you're out of position on the basketball court, on the football, playing soccer, it doesn't matter. If you're not in the right place, you will miss the play. God is asking us in 2025, if we're going to come alive individually and as a church, we've got to be in the right place at the right time, right? So that means positioned with Him. That means there is an intentionality to say, my walk with God is going to be a priority. My time with God is going to be a priority. Now, for some of you that grew up in church, Maybe that seems insurmountable to you because perhaps some of the people you looked up to are the people who would spend, you know, 3-4 hours a day, you know, reading the word and prayer, and you're like, Pastor, my life is so busy, there's just no way that's going to happen. Nobody is asking you for that kind of time. He wants your life. He wants all of it.
Yes.
That means you still can go about your daily business and God can talk to you.
Oh, yes, He can.
I know for a fact that I've been in situations. As you know, I work in the electronics industry and I work retail. And on very busy, busy times when, I mean, there is a sea of people in front of me, there are people waiting for me to help them, God has spoken to me on the busy, busy floor of a retail space in a very, very busy, noisy atmosphere. But how did I get to that point? I got to that point by having God show me that He wanted to be a part of every part of my life. He wanted to go with me to work, even when I had a bad day, even when I blew it, right, and lost my cool. Even when I messed up. You see, we have developed this religious thought process that I've got to be perfect in order to be positioned with God. You don't have to be perfect. Your heart has to be right.
Yeah.
And the way your heart is right, He makes it right.
Yes, amen.
You know, David was what? He was a murderer?
Mm-hmm.
He was an adulterer? Come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Think about this just for a second.
That's right.
Many of the people that God used in the Bible were very imperfect beings. And this was in the Old Testament. It was before Jesus ever came. Before Jesus ever came. So in the New Testament, how much more does God want to use you? Look past your flaws as long as you're giving them to Him. And saying, God, help me with this. Help me with this. When we acknowledge that we need His help, He's right there. But religion teaches us that God's mad at you. And He's far away from you. And if you don't get that right, God's going to get you. You know, I remember there was even a song. I don't know. Hopefully it was a joke. But it was a song, God's going to get you for that. I don't know if you ever heard the song, but it was terrible. God's going to get you for that. Well, God's not waiting to get you. God is waiting for you to want Him. Because God's not mad at you, He's mad about you.
That's right.
But our position in Him is our choice. That we say, God, I want to have such a relationship with you. And notice at the end of that chapter, He said, I will put my spirit in you and you'll live. That's speaking to the New Testament believer right now. He'll put His spirit in you and you'll live. We are talking about coming alive in 25 so that we can speak life in every area of our lives. That we speak the words of life, we speak God's word. But in order to do that, we've got to have that kind of relationship with Him that He can whisper our name. I told you last week, you know, I want God to be able to whisper my name. I don't want Him to have to shout my name. You know, like when your parents, you know, use your middle name. Then you know you're in trouble. So, you know, we want God to whisper and say, hey, Avril, I want you to go check on somebody. Hey, Adam, why don't you buy lunch for that coworker? And you hear Him. See, miracles happen when we hear Him. When we listen for that still small voice, when we've tuned our ear and we are in position. Now, I had the privilege for 1 year of actually playing on a championship baseball team. Needless to say, your non-athlete pastor wanted to be athletic, just didn't have that gene. I was sitting on the bench a lot during that season. But I have to tell you, when I did get put in the game, my eyes were on the coach and whatever he said do, I wanted to do. I was in position. So even if I was in left field, right field, even if they put me in a place that was non-consequential, I was paying attention. So God's asking us to be in position to hear. That means physically and spiritually. That's the reason why coming to church is important. You know, if God's not looking at a church attendance record, you know, he's not necessarily going, like with a teacher with a grade book, you know, well, they missed this one, they missed this one, they missed this one. But when we are in position, God has opportunity not only to talk to you about you, but to talk to you about somebody else so that you can be an answer to somebody else's prayer.
Yes, amen.
And once you get into that flow of being an answer to somebody else's prayer, you're just going to want to be on the front row. You're like, oh, I've got to be there. Why? Because God might speak to me to help somebody. And there is no greater feeling than when God uses you to be an answer in somebody else's life. It is so awesome. It's so awesome. It becomes addictive to say, God, use me. What kind of adventure do you have me on today? So Ezekiel had that kind of relationship with God, where God was able to take him and show him the valley of dry bones. God may show you something to pray about. I know there are several people in this church that I believe God has put on their heart to pray for our church, to pray for me and Pastor Christine and our family, and they do it regularly. And I know it. I can feel their prayers because that's their assignment. God showed them something, and they said, okay, I'm going to obey that. See, God will show you things in that relationship. If we're going to come alive, then that means putting the relationship with God as a priority. Putting him a part of your life every day, in every part. Not just on Sundays, not just on church kind of things, right? But every particular part of your life. That we say, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to talk today? Do you want me to call somebody? Do you want me to reach out to somebody? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to give to these to Samaritan's Purse because of what's going on in California? Do you want me to do something? And I believe I shared this story with you about the gentleman who owned his own business up in Schenectady, who actually put his business on hold, drove to North Carolina after the floods in North Carolina, and just drove around saying, God, where do you want me? Filled up his truck with supplies and literally did a, okay, God, I don't know where you want me. And God led him to specific situations that he was specifically an answer to prayer. Mm-hmm. Man, and when he tells the story, this is a guy who doesn't like to get in front of people. But when he starts to, this is a grown man who's, you know, in his 50s. And when he starts talking, his eyes just fill up with tears, because he's like, it's just so amazing. It's so amazing to be a part of the solution, to be a part of the answer. You were created to connect with God. You were created to play that position with him, to be in a position where he says, hey, go right, go left, go straight, stop. He will tell you. He will tell you. The second thing is that not only are we in a position to hear, John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. They don't follow the voice of another. We said that last week, if you're going to get yourself in that position, point number one, you've got to develop that in prayer. And like I said, you don't have to, you know, try to, you know, pull off 40 days of fasting, miss a meal, and spend time with God.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
You don't have to make fasting some kind of big mystical thing. If you're missing a meal, spend the time you would in preparation or eating the meal or going to pick up the meal from the fast food joint and just sit in your car and read the Bible and pray for a couple minutes. That's it. God's not asking for the impossible. He's just wanting a piece of your life so he can direct you. So we don't just put the religious cloak on it. Well, I've got to fast for 10 days. I've got to do this, that. No. Just start where you're at. God will develop you, and he'll develop your capacity to do more. But you've got to give him something to work with. The second thing is that you partner with God. You make an obedient choice to partner with him. We made reference to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. When Samuel was just a boy, and he was in Eli's house, and he heard God speak, but he didn't know it was God. And he kept coming back to Eli saying, "Did you call me? Did you call me? Did you call me?" And Eli's like, "No, I didn't call you." Finally, Eli, as dense as he was, he realizes that must be God. If it happens to you again, boy, tell the Lord, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens." So there is an intentionality to actually partnering with God. You decide, "I'm going to partner with you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do." There's going to be a heart of obedience that has great expectation that if you are obedient, then God will honor that obedience. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, if you're willing and obedient. I said last week that some of us are willing. We want all the blessings of God, but we're not always on the obedience side. Sometimes we're on the obedience side. Now, this part I didn't share with you. We can be on the obedience side with a religious form, but not on the willing side with our heart. Because maybe we begrudgingly are doing something for the Lord instead of, "My heart is willing to do it. My heart has changed to the point that I've discovered how much you love me, and now I want to do that." If you are married, or if you ever dated anybody, if you showed up to the date, "I gotta date you. I gotta go on this date with you." You know, or spending time with somebody, "Well, I better spend time with you. Gee whiz." If you have that kind of attitude, you're not going to get much out of it. And that's really the heart that God is asking of his people. That they're willing and obedient. That they're willing. They say, "Lord, I'm willing. I really, I want to experience you. I want to encounter you. When I come to church, I'm expecting you to show up. I'm expecting you to speak to me, encourage me, give me hope." Because the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 that God desires not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. God is always wanting to give you a hope and a future. He's not here to beat you up and tell you what a horrible person you are. You probably do that enough yourself when you blow it. Reverend Ennis, at the end of the year, you know, talked about New Year thoughts and end of the year thoughts, those regrets that sometimes we have. We need to start replacing them with, "Okay, I can move on. I can look in the rearview mirror, glance at it. I made a mistake. Lord, thank you for forgiving me and helping me in the new year." And then you go on from there. The willing and obedient eat the good of the land. But there is a blessing involved when your heart and your actions match up. I'm going to say that again. There is a blessing involved when your heart and your actions match up. That's why Jesus was so hard on the religious people, because their actions were right. Their heart was far from him. Their actions were right, but their heart was far from him. And so remember, the first thing, position yourself to hear. Stay in position, position yourself to hear. The second thing, partner with God and make that an intelligent and intentional choice. Let's turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to go ahead and look at verse 6. And I'm sure you've heard this. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. This is a great verse because it encourages the believer. Hebrews 11. Now, we know that's usually where we go to for a definition of faith, right? But notice what it says in verse 6. It says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's talking about a relationship with God when you seek him, when you are invested in him, saying, okay, God, I want to hear you when you whisper my name. I want to hear you. I don't want to have to just hear you when you shout my name. I want to hear you when you're just, you know, my wife, when the kids were young and we were in a crowded store and she needed the kids to be closer to her, because she didn't want to get separated from them, or she didn't want to get them, have them get lost. She had a way of calling them. And Silvio and Iris, Silvio had a way of calling his kids. And it was like a code thing without calling their name. Mm. And Pastor Christine was the same way. She'd go, pss, pss. That's all she would do. And the kids knew if they heard, pss, pss, you know, it didn't matter where they were, what they were doing. They were, you know, they're going to come up and be near mom and dad.
Right, right.
Silvio had the similar kind of a whistle or something. You'll have to ask him to do it. I'm sure he'll indulge you. Silvio would do that. And his kids would come, and he knew it was almost like a code. Well, God, he wants us to be in that same manner, that we're so close to him, we know when he's going,
yes, that's right.
You know, because he wants to maybe get us to be in the right place at the right time, right, so that we don't get into an attack,
yeah,
or get into a wrong situation, and that he would protect us. You know, over the weekend, my wife and I and Abigail, we traveled to see our oldest daughter about 4 hours away. And when we did, we always pray over ourselves, and we pray, and God leads and directs us. And when we were watching the weather, and we had a piece about going, but we kept watching the weather of like, it might snow. At one point they were talking about a snow blast, and then that's the reason, you know, we kind of had peace. Okay, we can go, but we still got to keep an eye on the weather.
Yeah.
And then yesterday morning we woke up, and we, to our surprise, there was like 2 or 3 inches of snow where we were. And we're like, ooh. And the Lord just kind of, both of us were in 100% agreement. We just kind of went, I know we got to get back, right? I know we got to get back. We got to get back to our dog and, you know, getting ready for church and all of that. But let's just hang here for a little bit. Let's hang here. And we, instead of getting up at like 7 o'clock in the morning and trying to get on the road early and you know, get home by noon, which would have been nice, we listened. See, when you partner with God, he's got your best interest at heart.
Yes, he does. Amen.
He'll help you with a car repair. Yes. He'll help you with a decision,
yes,
you've got to make.
Yes.
He'll help you with which bill to pay first.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll help you with favor,
yes,
even when it looks like you're not going to get that favor.
That's right.
He'll help you with finding that job, mm-hmm, or improving that situation at that workspace.
Yes.
He'll help you because you're partnering with him. You're telling him, listen, my life is yours, so you direct me. And when you direct me, he pays for it. He foots the bill. He always says, okay, that's my kid. Yeah, let's move out of the way. Yep. That's my kid. And you'll rise to the top. So position yourself to hear, partner with God. And then the third thing that we want to get into as we finish this part up, we need to prophesy life over those situations. God will show you those things in your life that are dead, those things in your life that are decaying, and he'll show you to speak over them. See, if the power of death and life is in the tongue, and those who know it eat the fruit thereof. How many want fruit in your life? Then start speaking God's word over situations that seem dead. It could be a relationship. It could be a situation where it just doesn't look good. But God has the final say.
Yes, he does.
As I said earlier, sometimes we're negatively hardwired. We'll spend more time talking about the problem than the answer. We'll spend more time analyzing the problem than actually just speaking God's word over it. If you're suffering financial lack, and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bill, the Word of God tells us in Philippians, it says that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Start putting God's Word on that situation. And if you don't know God's Word in a particular situation, ask for help. Because the Word has answers for every area of your life. Health and healing, financial, relational. This is probably the best medicine anybody could ever have. In fact, the Word of God is a medicine. It's a medicine to when we're sick. It's a medicine. In fact, it says, and He sent His Word and healed them. His Word is healing. His Word is help. When His Word gets spoken over a situation, we just saw that in Ezekiel. God not only showed Ezekiel the problem, and Ezekiel obviously had made a decision out of his relationship that he would obey. And that's a quality decision ahead of time. That you're going to obey what he says. So if you get into his word and you're partnering with him, now you can prophesy life. Verses 4 through 6. Go back to Ezekiel 37. I hope you're getting something out of this today. There's such richness in God's word. It can help you in every situation. All right, so here we are. And he says, Lord God, you know. Remember, God asked him a question. In verse 3, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, I think, some people look at this and they say that wasn't much faith. But I got to tell you, I think it was. It was a faith based out of relationship. Lord, you know. I can imagine, because Ezekiel had seen God's power work, that there is probably a little bit of a, kind of almost like a childlike smile that came through Ezekiel. Because he knew God. He knew God. And when God's asking him the question, can these bones live? I imagine Ezekiel probably had a little smile come to his face. And I imagine he was like, you know, Lord. You know, Lord. Because he had seen God do things. When you've seen God do the miraculous, it's hard to get it out of your mind.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
You know, when people have asked me about my healing or when I have seen people get healed, I can't ever erase that from my mind.
That's right.
When I've seen people get out of a wheelchair and I knew them, they weren't some staged thing. I knew them. And to see them walk out of a Christian school chapel wheeling their own wheelchair.
Wow, my God. Hallelujah.
When you've seen somebody who is tremoring to the point that they can barely talk to you with Parkinson's, and when hands are laid upon them, there's a stillness that comes and Parkinson's leaves. And 2 years later, I'm back at that church in the Czech Republic. And the woman is still as steady as a 30-year-old.
Praise God.
I'm telling you, I've seen. Now, when you see, it gives you that same attitude that Ezekiel had. When God asks you a question, and you go, you know, Lord. So when you know He knows, then you find out what He knows. And it says, these... Look at what verse 4 says. Again, he said to me, prophesy to the bones. Say to them. Say to them. In other words, speak to them. Yes. Say to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. God is wanting to put His word on those dead things in your life.
Amen.
If you'll find His word, draw up near Him, He'll give you the words to say. Instead of saying, I don't know. That's a phrase in my family that we are endeavoring. We've not arrived. We are endeavoring to not say the words, I don't know.
Praise God.
Now, my wife, as a middle school English teacher, when she asks somebody about their behavior and they say, I don't know, that's an unacceptable answer to her. And her kids know it. They're not allowed to say, I don't know. When she asks an answer to a question, they are not allowed to say, I don't know. And so when we are dealing with our everyday life and challenges and trouble comes to us just like it comes to anybody else. And when those things come up, instead of saying, our default is always, I don't know. Instead of saying that, we've learned to say things like, I don't have an answer for that yet. But I'm going to find God's answer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't have an answer for that yet. Can we all practice that?
Mm-hmm.
Just say, I don't have an answer for that yet.
I don't have an answer for that yet.
You see what that is? There's an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
You need to practice that.
Yes.
I don't have an answer for that yet.
Yes.
What are we going to do about that bill? What are we going to do about that car repair?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do about the... Whatever it is, you fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
For us, 4 years ago, middle of pandemic, you've heard me say it, cut up our credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And the day after we cut up our credit cards, the well pump goes out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we were tempted to say, what are we going to do? 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 But we didn't. We stood on the front porch. We agreed and we said, God, you've got an answer.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we're thanking you right now for that answer.
Yes, mm-hmm.
You say, man, that's bold. That's a relationship.
Yes. Amen.
That's a relationship.
Yes.
It's not a rabbit's foot.
No.
We're hoping this works. No, it is founded on God's word.
Yes.
Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't know about you, but I want to please him.
Mm-hmm.
That means there are going to be opportunities that I have to trust him.
Yes.
Just trust him.
Yes.
Just trust him in those difficult moments. But speak the life of God. Find the word of God. By his stripes, I am healed. And instead of carrying those burdens around, the word of God tells us that we can cast the whole of our care over on him because he cares for us. So instead of just being weighed down by anxiety and being overwhelmed, we don't have to be that way because he loves us and he gives us an answer and he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. That's what Jesus himself said to us. And if that's true back then, it's true for us today. That if we'll take his yoke upon us, that means learn how he does things. Learn how he operates. Instead of being hardwired negatively to a worldly system that just immediately goes to the plastic credit card for the answer, instead, we go to him first. Now, I'm not saying for you to all cut up your credit cards. That's between you and God. I'm just telling you what God dealt us to do. But with that, there is great freedom. There's great freedom because we're trusting him. We're trusting him in every step of the way. So when you partner with God, he makes it up. When you prophesy life over those situations. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. A lot of times, in order to start believing, we've got to hear it. So we've got to maybe say it, out loud a number of times before it gets down in our heart and before faith starts to spring up down here. Faith truly is of the heart. It's of the heart. We know that that's how we got saved. We believed in our heart. We confessed with our mouth. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. So we're believing first down here, and then we start confessing with our mouth. I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. We've made a declaration. You know, today we sang a song, House of Miracles. We were declaring over this church that this church is a house of miracles. Miracles happen. And even those little miracles, things that you think are little, they're big if God's involved.
Amen.
Let us know. Fill out one of the communication cards and say, hey, I just want to let you know that God did this. We want to rejoice with you.
Amen.
We want to be able to say, we rejoice with you. That's awesome. Amen. God comes through. This is a house of miracles.
Amen.
You know, if you want to ever hear somebody's story other than mine, I get to tell my story all the time because I've got the microphone. But if you want to hear somebody's story, ask them. Ask them. They'll tell you their story. And their story of how God intervened and how God is powerful, how God is still faithful, and He is a person of His Word. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you, even in the midst of the trouble. And I said this earlier when we were praying for California. God doesn't send the trouble. That's a religious concept that God sends the trouble. And it's from the pit of hell.
That's right.
Because the Bible tells us that the Satan comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look around at whatever you're going through, it could be that maybe you made a bad decision. Okay, that's fine. You own it. You say, I'm sorry, God. But when stuff happens out of the blue and you know that it was not God, it was the enemy coming to attack you and the steps of faith that you are trying to take. He wants to discourage us. So he will throw obstacles in your path and get you discouraged and get you to unhook and say, no, I tried that. No, you don't try God. God's never going to fail you. You don't just try him like you try a fast food restaurant. No, he is who he says he is, and he's good, and he's good all the time. So we prophesy on it. Amen. Amen. I believe, therefore I speak. 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 So when I find out what to believe, it comes from the Word. It comes from the Word. So we were sitting in Bible school, and I'm in healing class, and I'm sitting on the second row, and Brother Keith Moore is ministering on healing. He's my teacher, and if you've ever heard Brother Keith Moore, he's intense. I'm second row with my wife. Pastor Christine and I are sitting there. And when I moved from Florida to Oklahoma, first of all, I always knew that I dealt with hay fever. And getting out in Oklahoma and going through seasons instead of having one season, or maybe two, hot and hotter. Now I'm in Oklahoma, they have four seasons. And all the trees are blooming and everything else. And I come into healing class with a box of tissues, slits for eyes, my face is puffed up, I'm red, and I would sneeze, you can ask Pastor Christine, as many as 15 times in a row. The tree pollen was horrible for me at that moment. And I'm sitting in there, in the healing class. First of all, it was embarrassing. Second of all, I'm like, how come I'm not experiencing this healing? I got hay fever like you wouldn't believe. Right? And so the higher truth that I began to focus on is, I'm the healed of the Lord. He sent his word and healed me.
Amen.
And it got to the point where that first season going through, every time I sneezed, I'd say, no, you don't, devil. I just speak out loud. What was I doing? Speaking God's life over the situation. I'm the healed of the Lord. I am not suffering from hay fever. And I mean, I would do it. I would sneeze. I would say it. I'd say it 30 times. I would read the scripture over and over and over and over until it got down in here. Now I believe, therefore I speak. And it got to the point where the next year came around. First of all, spring came around. I had less symptoms. The next fall came around, and everybody that we were working with at the time has terrible hay fever. They're all on these medications that were new at the time coming out. You know, are you on this? Are you on that? That was the talk at the water cooler, right? And I walk in as clear as a bell, healed. Did it happen instantaneously? No, it did not. It was as I went. But I'll tell you, people were like, you must be on that new allergy medication. I go, no. Jesus healed me. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to still speak it. I'm going to still speak it. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. He sent his word and healed me. He sent his word and healed me. That lesson actually translated to me when I had my brain bleed and I lost 50% of my vision. And my kids, something would drop on the floor. What would I say? I'd say, I see everything in Jesus' name. Dad, watch your step. Do you see that? I see everything in Jesus' name. I would say that. What was I saying? I was rehearsing the victory and putting God's word on a dead situation. They were telling me that my nerve damage was only going to get so, so much better. Oh, you're only going to get this much. I said, no, sir. I'm going to get it all back.
Amen.
And when I actually saw him a year later, he said, can I refer you to a special study? Because you're an anomaly. You're kind of weird. He goes, what do you think that's a result of? And he was not a believer. He was not a believer. And I said, it's a result of faith in God and his word.
Amen.
And he is faithful. And he said, well, you gained so much more back. He goes, I don't know how you did that. I said, I didn't do it. He did it.
Amen.
He did it. When you partner with God, you make an obedient choice. When you prophesy life, you speak his word over those dead situations. And then you can praise him in faith. You can thank God for the answer before you have it. That is the fight of faith that we're going to get into next week. The fight of faith is when you have prayed, Mark 11, 23, 24, when you prayed and you believed that you received over here, the distance between I prayed and I believed and I received to there it is, I have it. There's a distance between that. And sometimes that distance is very quick and sometimes it's years in the making. I believed, therefore I speak when I eventually have. But I'm still rejoicing along the way. And what does that do? It just makes my relationship with God that much stronger when I know he's going to, I don't know when. I may not know exactly how he's going to do it, but I know what he promised. And so I'm going to hang on. Will these bones live, Ezekiel? You know, Lord. You know. Does that deny the factual part that I had lost my vision? No. Because if somebody asked me, I'd say, yeah, I woke up from surgery. I was 50% blind. Well, what about now, Pastor? What about now? I have about 3% in the left quadrant of both eyes that I'm believing for. I see everything. My vision is renewed like the youth's. And I got to tell you, every time I go to the doctor, I went just last year. They did a map of my eyes. Once again, it was better.
Amen.
And once again, they just kind of shake their head. Well, we don't always understand everything. No kidding. That's why they call it practicing medicine.
Yes.
Because you're still practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Jesus knows everything.
Amen.
So, four things. You position yourself to hear through relationship with God. You make a conscious decision to partner with Him. That's an obedient choice. The third thing, you prophesy life over those situations. You prophesy God's kind of life. The Zoe is God's kind of life. Zoe, God's kind of life. Not just everyday life, but God's life. Spoken over those situations. That those things are going to be restored. That those things are going to happen because God declared it. And you speak because you believe.
Amen.
And then you praise Him in faith.
Yeah.
You praise Him in faith. We're going to get deeper into that. I have an illustration. I'll do it next week that we'll talk about that. You praise Him in faith. I thank God in advance. It shall be as He declared it.
Yes. Amen.
That I will walk. I will walk. I will live and not die. I will do what He said do. As they wheeled me into my brain surgery, emergency brain surgery, in intense pain, I looked at Pastor Christine and I said, my course is not finished. That was one of the last things other than I love you that I said to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I meant that because I believed in my heart that God still had an assignment on my life. And that I was to fulfill that assignment. And so that is what I did, and that is how I came out. Now, I still had a fight of faith. I still had to learn to praise. I still had to when the letters couldn't even converge on the page, I had to learn how to read all over again. That was a time that I drew near to God. God wasn't far away. He didn't do it to me. The enemy did it to me. In fact, He was close to me. And He is close to me. Amen?
Amen.
So praise God. Let's stand to our feet right now. Let's just believe God together. I know some of you might be dealing with some things in your life. You may be dealing with some dead situations, some dry bones. And the Lord might be showing you those things as we start this new year. He might be showing you, hey, that's an area that's kind of dead in your life. You need to pick it up. You need to start speaking life over it. Let me tell you what to speak, and He'll lead you to those verses. He'll lead you to His word. Not just your good thoughts on a subject, but His word. Is there a scripture that locks in to what that situation is that He's telling you to speak? And if you'll find that scripture, He will give it to you, and it will become a rhema word to you. It will become a God-breathed word to your heart. And when that happens, you'll speak it out. And when you speak it out, there'll be power in that. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's Word is powerful. So you'll speak God's word just like Ezekiel, and those dry things are going to live again. So Father, right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, pray for me, Pastor, there's some dead things in my life or some decaying things in my life. And God's asking me, He's showing me right now through this service and through the word that you've preached, He's showing me that I need to speak life over them. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up to the front, but I want to know. I want to know how I can pray for you in that situation, that I can pray the strength of God, that as you draw close to God in your relationship with Him, that as you choose to partner with Him in obedience, that you'll act on what He tells you, and that as you speak His life-giving word over that dead situation, that God would lead you to the exact right scripture to speak over that situation. If that's you, right now, I want you just to raise your hand at me and say, that's me. That's me. Right now. Anybody at all? Thank you. Thank you. If there's anybody else, say, there's a dead situation. I need it to come alive right now. If there's anybody else in your body, in your finances, in your job, in your mental health, whatever it is, go ahead and raise your hand. It doesn't matter. I just want to be able to pray for you this week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you. I see those hands. You can put the hands down now. So, Father, I'm just going to pray for you right now, all of you together, in the name of Jesus. We speak to those dead things. And we tell them to live by the power and the word of God right now, in the name of Jesus. We pray right now that the breath of God, the Ruha, the breath of God, the same breath that he breathed into the dust that made Adam, we pray God's breath would be on these individuals and on those situations right now. In your body, be healed. In your finances, wisdom. In those relationships, peace. In that work situation, open doors and no blocks in the name of Jesus. Favor in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. And right now, let's just pray. If there's anybody in here or perhaps online who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ and they want to, we would like to pray for you. Romans 10, 9 and 10, as I referenced earlier, says, if you believe in your heart and you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, you'll be saved. And if that's you and you want to either come back to God or you want to come to God for the first time, to be born again by the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm talking about being a member of His church is to know Him. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand while every head still bowed, every eye closed. If that's you and you want to come back to God, or you want to be born again, if that's you, raise up your hand in this place, anybody at all. Praise God. Let's just pray this simple prayer out loud. Say, Father God, I come before you. In the name of Jesus, I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior from this day on, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. We want to know if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or it was an act of rededication. And right now we have our sending out verse. Let's just speak this. What are we doing? We're speaking life in every area, right?
Amen.
And so this counts in that arena. Let's go ahead and say it. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night, Foundations Live, and next.